Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to be your speaker this afternoon. I pray the things that I've studied and that I present to you are rightly divided and are edifying to everybody that hears it. So this afternoon, it's going to be a continuation of the studies that we've been in, which is the fourfold gospel. The passages tonight, as you can see on the board, the topics will be about the parable of the good shepherd, as well as the mission and the return of the 70 that Jesus sent out. To start off, I'd like to read John chapter 10. We'll read the first five verses of that. So follow along with me, if you will. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from, for they know not the voice of strangers. So, to kind of paint a better picture, give you a setting of this parable, a sheepfold back in the day, which I kind of never really understood, but found out was an actual structure. It was a kind of an enclosure or a corral of some sorts. It was roofless, so it had nothing over the top, but it's usually lined on the outside. The walls are made of like a stone, like stacked stone, or maybe like a thorny hedge bush or a hedge of thorny bushes to keep the sheep inside of that fold and keep predators out of it. There was typically only one way in and out of these folds, and that was through a door or a gate, and there was a porter or a doorkeeper there to let only the shepherds in and the shepherds with the right sheep out. So the shepherds, you know, when it came nighttime, they'd bring their sheep into this fold to keep them safe overnight. And the doorkeeper stationed at the gate, it was his job to watch over them and control who came in and out of that fold. There was usually multiple flocks set up in these folds at times. It was kind of a communal thing. So the sheep would be intermingling. So when the shepherd would come in, he would call for his sheep and they would hear his voice. They recognize his voice and follow him. And it was that doorkeeper's job to kind of know who was supposed to be there and who wasn't. This was kind of a known system amongst the shepherds and people of that time. That was how they practiced it at that time in that region. So everybody kind of knew what to expect and how that process worked when they went in there. It was also to help the sheep know that they were safe at night and to know when their shepherd was there to lead them out into the field so they can't just wander off or go off with just any old shepherd. So that's kind of the picture of the setting that Jesus is teaching here. The sheep here are God's people, and Jesus is warning them of false prophets or teachers or false messiahs and how to spot the one true Savior, or shepherd, as this parable puts it. The true shepherd would follow the system that is in place by going to the door with the sheep. The doorkeeper lets him in because he recognizes him, and he brings the sheep in there for safety, and then whenever he comes back in the morning, he calls for his sheep to follow him and leads them back out through that gate. Like I said, each sheep back then, they had them trained where they knew their own shepherd's distinct voice, and they would follow him and only him. They wouldn't listen to a strange voice. But the men who did not follow this system, they did not come through that one and only way into that fold, which was the door or that gate. They would break in some other way. They would try and jump over the fence or something to get to the sheep. And their intentions were not good. If their intentions were good, they would have came in through the prescribed way of the door. They would only be there to steal away the sheep or slaughter them. So Jesus is teaching them how to know that he is the true Messiah, the true Savior. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament telling us about how that Savior was to come. And everything about Jesus' life fulfilled those prophecies. He fulfilled each one of those prophecies about him from the Old Testament. There was a plan in place that was laid out in the Old Testament, and Jesus followed that plan and came down to earth to save us, his flock. Jesus came through that one and only door, the only way that was prescribed in the scriptures, and he called for us, so to speak, like a shepherd would call for his flock. Anybody else that tries to get into that fold to overtake the flock, like I said, only has bad intentions, and they can be easily identified because they didn't come through that prescribed way, that one gate, or through the Bible, the way the Bible prescribes, and they don't teach the things that the Bible teaches. Nothing they say or do holds up to the scriptures. But the people Jesus is talking to here, they didn't quite understand what Jesus was trying to tell them here. I kind of picture them just kind of, when he finishes, just kind of staring at him dumbfounded. And so Jesus kind of slows down, speaks a little more deliberately. That's kind of how I picture this. And he simplifies and explains more. So let's read the remaining verses of this passage, which is John chapter 10, verses 6 through verse 21. So this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep they are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scatter the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So now Jesus goes on and more clearly explains his parable. He tells us that he's the door into that fold as well. He is also the one who leads that flock into the fold for safety, and he's the one that leads them out, again, through that door, out to the pastures for sustenance, food, water, and whatnot. And the only way to enter into the safety of the fold is through that door, and the only way to go out and to be led into the pastures for food and water is through that door. Just as the only way to be saved is through Jesus, and it's only through Jesus that we can be filled and be filled with a righteousness that we so much seek, and to be led into heaven. It's only through Jesus, just as the only way in and out for these sheep is through that door. Jesus is that door. And anybody who tries to enter into the flock in any other way of the door is only there for bad intentions, to scatter and slaughter the sheep. So if anybody comes to us trying to teach any other way than what's prescribed by God's word, they're only here to cause division and harm to the church. Jesus uses the example of a hireling, or somebody that was hired to watch the sheep. It's not actually the shepherd who owns the sheep and raise the sheep and know them. He's just there as a job to collect, you know, there's something in it for him. There's money, there's gain. So he's there to watch it, but as soon as the going gets tough, you know, wolves come, the predators come, worker that's just there for his own gain and not because that's his sheep flees. It's not worth it. No, the risk is no longer worth what he is getting out of it, and he's only there to get something out of it for himself. So he flees because it's not his sheep that he cares about. It's only himself. Where Jesus, the good shepherd, he is willing to lay down his life for his flock, and he proves that to us as well in his life. He's not going to flee whenever the predators come. He's there to protect us, to lead us, and will lead us, even if it means giving up his life and sacrificing it for us, which he does. And then, as I said, how Jesus says how the real shepherd is willing to give up his life for his sheep. We read in verse 17 and 18, Jesus did give up his own life, and that he gave it up willingly. He gave up his own life voluntarily. Those who crucified him, they didn't come and overtake him and defeat him, but rather Jesus allowed himself to be sacrificed on the cross to fulfill the scriptures and to save us. When he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. God did not force Jesus to come down either. He didn't come begrudgingly. Jesus willingly became man, left the splendor of heaven to live as a man, to suffer down here on the cross, to die for us because he loved us. It was not taken from him. He gave up his life. It was all through his own voluntary actions. So the majority of this passage, Jesus' flock, he was referring to the Jews, since they were the first ones to receive the gospel and hear the word. But in verse 16, Jesus mentions that he has another fold that he also must bring. This other fold, or this other flock in the another fold, this refers to the Gentiles. So Jesus is showing, he's teaching them that it's not, he didn't come here to just save Jews, but all mankind, and that he's going to go out and save the Gentiles as well, which we read about later on in the Bible. But it's just there to, he reinforces the idea that it's not just Jews. The gospel is open up to all mankind who accept and obey the gospel. So now let's kind of change pace here, and let's look at the mission and return of the 70 disciples that Jesus sent out. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 24. Luke chapter 10 reads, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter first, say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. And he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So Jesus called 70 disciples, and he sent them out in groups of two. He sent them out in pairs, two by two. He told them to go out to all those places in the cities that he was himself, Jesus, was going to go to and preach to. Those pairs were supposed to go to those cities, heal their sick, and tell them that the kingdom of God was coming. And if they listened and received them, then they would declare blessings to them. And if the city did not receive them, then they were commanded to leave that city the way that they came and to even shake off the dust off of their shoes and their bodies as to signify that they're done with them and they refused them. And when the 70 returned, they were filled with joy. They returned to Jesus. They had good report to bring. They were joyous about their mission. This passage kind of ties back in with the parable of the good shepherd. These disciples, they were in the fold of Jesus. They're safe in there, and Jesus led them through the door out into the pasture, so to speak. And while they were out there, he let them be filled with, you know, they're filled with joy and righteousness while they're out there, and he also kept them safe. Just as the shepherd keeps his flock safe out in the pastures. This is referenced in verse 3 when he says that he is sending them out as sheep among the wolves. And then in verse 19 when he said he gives them power to tread over snakes and scorpions and all that. And just as the shepherd provides for his flock, Jesus also provided for his in this instance. He sent them out with no money, no bag, no shoes. They were to just go out there and preach in the kingdom of God. But they lacked for nothing. They came back. They weren't beat down. They were joyous. They had everything they needed because Jesus provided for his flock. Jesus also, moving on, Jesus at the end kind of says a peculiar thing to a kind of normal thinking when he thanks God that he first revealed these to babes and not the wise and the prudent. Typical thinking, you'd want to be like, oh, the wise, the people that are known to be smart, with power, they're respected. You wanted them to get the lower people, the lower class, following them because they already have people that will listen to them. But that's not the case. He thanked God for the wisdom of allowing it to be taught to the more simple folk, or the babes, as Jesus put it. Because these wise and prudent, well, that would have been like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders. They wouldn't have been as quick to listen to these simple teachings. They would have been more arrogant in their own intelligence than to just believe what Jesus was saying. Where the babes or that Jesus says, or like the more simple folk, the lower class, more likely. They were more willing to listen and more willing to accept these simple teachings of Jesus and to go out and do them. Just as this is kind of like how Jesus didn't go to the Jewish leaders, the high up, the rich and powerful when he went and appointed his apostles. Instead, he found the fishermen, the tax collectors, and different things like that instead to be his apostles. It kind of goes against our thinking, but it shows... Kind of ties in with just how the Bible. It's simple. We just need to follow God. We are subject unto God. We're not to be seeking power or gain. We're supposed to be seeking righteousness, and that's how Jesus went about when he taught to people and who it was revealed to first. So those are my thoughts tonight. I hope that something that I've said has been beneficial to you, or that you can take something from this and study farther upon it. I don't want to conclude my thoughts without offering a plan of salvation. I don't see anybody that hasn't obeyed that plan, but I'll repeat it anyways in case I'm overlooking. First, you must hear the word of God. And you must believe that word that you've heard. You need to repent of your past life and your sinful ways. You need to confess that good confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And once you do all that, then you can be baptized into Christ once and for all for remission of your sins. If there's one that hasn't been baptized, or if there's one that needs the prayers of the church, you may come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.